John chapter 6, as we are leading up to Easter, our focus is on Jesus. And thinking and looking at Jesus, and last week we started off by looking at the scene with Pilate, and Pilate is presenting Christ before the people, and he says, "Behold the man." And we want to take this opportunity to really put our eyes and turn our eyes to Christ. Especially in this time as we lead up to Easter, because folks, Easter is what makes it different for us than in everything else. Because Easter says the grave is empty, that our Savior is effective. And because of that, we want to just be able to look at Jesus in these next upcoming weeks. And this morning, I want us to look here in John chapter 6. We came across this passage in our waypoints this past week, and there's some powerful truths that are in this passage, but also there's some real life that's in this passage. Some real life that we go through. Kind of like, have you ever had a really good piece of bread? I mean, one of those really satisfying pieces of bread. How many of you have a secret bread recipe that you got from a mom-mom or a mimi or a grandma, all right? My mom-mom used to make sourdough bread, and it was just perfect, all right? Every time, and you would slice it, a nice thick slice and some butter, you put it in the toaster, and y'all are ready to have the invitation and go home, right? We're hungry now. You talk about a good piece of bread, you can smell it. You can sense it. Really good piece of bread. She would make it in those bread makers, a cinnamon raisin bread, and she'd make it all night long. And you know what? Torture. Because you smelled it all night. You know, a really good piece of bread is very satisfying. Well, here in John chapter 6, we are seeing a passage where we are looking at Jesus as the bread of life. And we're going to see this illustration, this model for us in the bread that brings out a powerful truth. And there's so much that's working through this passage. You know, we're not going to start from verse 1, but if you look there in verse 1, and what happens at the beginning is personally one of my favorite miracles of Jesus, is when he takes the few loaves and the few fishes and he blesses them and he breaks them and he distributes them to the thousands, and all of a sudden there's enough for everybody. You know, if I wanted a miracle to be front row seat, that one would be top on my list, right, to see that. Everybody got to participate in that miracle. They got to see it. They were fed the loaves. They were fed the fish. And then to top it all off, just like God would do, the disciples were told to get the remaining fragments. And how much was left? A basket full for one of the 12. Each one of the 12 had a basket full left over. So this is the beginning of chapter 6. We see this miracle. And then the night comes and the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus comes walking to on the water. And there's an important exchange there between Christ and the disciples. But then I want us to look here beginning in verse 22. Because now we see the crowds come back into the scene. And we see important things begin to transpire for the rest of the chapter. Look here in verse 22. It says, "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near, in a place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Give us this bread always. We see the crowds here as they have found out that Jesus is gone. He's not there. They realize he's not with the disciples. They're trying to trace him down. They're trying to track him down. This is the crowds that had been following. They saw the miracles. They had ate the loaves and the fishes. And now they're trying to find Jesus. They're seeking for him. They're looking for him. And there they find him on the other side of the sea. "Jesus, when did you come over?" And you know, they're starting this conversation, and Jesus uses the opportunity to go deeper. He uses the opportunity to take them a little bit deeper into it and says, "You know what, you haven't been seeking me for these signs because you ate the loaves." And they begin this dialogue and this discussion here with this crowd, and it comes down to it. He says, "Listen, you want this bread. You want the true bread that is coming from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives us life to this world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread always. We want this bread. Give it to us." Yes, that's what we're talking about. And what was the illustration? When they were looking for signs, what did they bring up? They brought up the manna. They brought up what happened with Moses in the wilderness and the manna. And what was the manna a picture of? The manna was a picture of God's provision. Every day there would be manna miraculously on the ground. And they would go, they would gather what they needed for the day, and they would take it back. And the next day there would be manna there again. Do you think you get tired of that? That every day you just go out and collect your food? And here it was, and notice kind of their emphasis, because what did Jesus say to them there in verse 33 and 32? He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." You see, they had the source a little mixed up. They were looking at Moses as, hey, he, you know, he provided, he did all this, and yet Jesus is saying, "Listen, it wasn't Moses that gave you that bread, it was my Father from heaven that gave you that bread." And so we're seeing now the wheel is beginning to turn, and there is beginning to be a little bit of a struggle and a tension that's developing. Because what did they say there in verse 34? They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread." You know what they were looking for? They were looking for what Jesus could give them. What can you give us, Jesus? Can I tell you, a lot of times we come into church, we come into our daily lives saying, "Jesus, what can you give us? What can you give us?" Notice Jesus' response, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on that last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Do you think that was the bread they were looking for? Jesus, give us this bread always. And what does he say? "I am." We see a turn to the personal pronoun, the "I am." The "I am the bread of life." And in fact, if you look from 35 on down through the rest of the chapter, you will see "I am," "I will," "I have," "I should," and all these aspects of the personal pronoun that Jesus says, "Look, what you are looking for is right here. I am the bread of life." And Jesus is beginning to unpack this for them. And notice in verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Remember, they're equating this to the thought of manna and Moses and the miraculous and what God had provided and seeing that. And all of a sudden they are starting to make the connection. Wait, he is saying he's God. I am the bread that came down from heaven. In verse 42, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Said, isn't this, you know, isn't his mom and dad, you know, Mary and Joseph, and didn't he come from Nazareth? And yet he's saying he's the son of God? And they're thinking about this, they're grumbling, they're murmuring. Kind of picturesque of the Israelites in the wilderness who like to murmur. In verse 43, Jesus says, in answer to them, he says, do not grumble among yourselves. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And he begins to unpack this for them, and I want you to look down. Verse 49, he says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You see, there's something that Jesus brings up here that just begins to cause ears to turn. Because notice what he says, you must eat of it. You must eat of it. In verse 51, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Oh, hang on, Jesus. You know, we were with you over there when you fed us with real bread and we actually ate that real bread. And now you're talking about eating of a bread. You're calling yourself that bread and you're saying that we need to eat of your flesh? Can you imagine how the crowd is beginning to turn? They're beginning to wonder, and all of a sudden, this is starting to change. He continues on verses 52 on down, and look at verse 56. When he's talking about eating, this is what he means. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. He's not talking about actually eating his flesh and blood. He's talking about believing in him. We see here these words being used back and forth. We see bread, which is a symbol here for life, for sustenance. We see this idea of eating of that bread. And that idea of eating of that bread is promoting the idea of believing and accepting Jesus Christ. He is wanting them to eat and to believe in Him and to accept Him and bring them Him into their life. You need to eat my flesh and drink of my blood, and I will abide in and abide in me, and I in Him. This idea of a active a belief in Jesus Christ, that this is the one, that this is from God, and He is the one who is sent, and we're going to believe in Him and we're going to trust in Him. But yet the tension is continuing to build. It's one of those statements that, all right, you know, preacher, you were doing really good till you said that. But once you said that, you know, now, you know, you're kind of going off in a wrong trail here, Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. You were doing real good while you were doing the miracle. But now you're talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. You know what? I just don't know. I mean, look at how the tension is growing throughout. Verse 41, they're grumbling. They're grumbling and they say, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Wait a second. He's not giving us what we thought he was going to give us. So is this really Jesus? Is this who he really says he is? Verse 52. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then you see in verse 60, after he has talked about that eating of his flesh and blood, notice in verse 60, it says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning of who those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And this is where it came down to in verse 66. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You know what, Jesus? Give us this bread. Give us what you're talking about. Okay? I am the bread of life. Hey, preacher, give us, you know, the answers to life. Give us, a way to comfort and to happiness and to blessing. Give us the pattern to a full bank account. Give us a pattern to good health. Take care of all these situations. Show us this pattern, okay? Jesus. No, I don't like that. Something else. And you know what? You got to partake of Jesus. Eat of his blood, or eat of his flesh and drink of his blood and believe in him and have that active obedience in him. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Do you think Jesus was the type of preacher that worried about whether or not people were going to like what he had to say? He gave them the truth. You see, there is a tension that is going on here in this crowd and this people. And this tension is growing up. Is Jesus who he says he is? Is Jesus really going to take care of this? And you know, he's saying he's the bread of life. He's saying he's come down from the Father. We know what bread looks like coming down from the Father and the manna. Is he really who he says he is? And so when we look at Jesus and he's talking about the fact that I am the bread of life, he is giving us the answer to their tension, the answer to their situation and their problems, and it's found through Jesus Christ. You see, what this passage is showing us and what it's trying to tell us is about a change. And it's a change in our perspective. It's a change from what Jesus gives us to who Jesus is. And understand what this change means. It's a change from what Jesus gives us to who Jesus is. You see, because they were wanting this to be given to them. Sir, give us this bread always. They had come looking for him. They had just had their bellies filled over in this miracle. They had just seen these different signs. And you know, give us this, give us this, give us this. How can he give us of his flesh to eat? And what is Jesus saying? I am. They wanted what he could give them, and Jesus was saying, it's who I am. It's who I am. We must change the perspective from what Jesus can give us to who Jesus is. You ever realized how quickly the perspective changes after the fact? Think about this. When I was a teenager, I get home from football practice. You know, in case you don't know, spaghetti was my favorite meal. My mom would make spaghetti, you know, after a long day of football and everything. Everybody else would have the regular plates. I'd get the meat platter. All right? I'd get the meat platter. I'd fill it up with spaghetti and spaghetti sauce. That was my favorite meal. I'd eat it. You know what? 30 minutes later, you know where I was? Right in front of the refrigerator. Both doors open. All right, what else we got in here? And I looked through the refrigerator. You know what I was looking for? Hey, what can I get? What can I get? What kind of snacks do we have here? What else can I get? What did mom, what's in here? What can I use to satisfy my craving? And 30 minutes later after that, I was back in the refrigerator. My dad used to tell me, we have air conditioning. We don't need you to open the refrigerator door all the time. As a teenager, I would sit there and open the door, and I'd just sit there and look, and like, what can I get? What can I get? You know what? Now, with the family, you open that door and you look at the food in the refrigerator. It's not about what can I get. It's, wow, that's a lot of groceries. These kids are eating a lot nowadays. There's a lot of provision here. You know what? God's blessed. God's done something. And you start to think, I had no clue when I was a teenager. It was all about what I could get. And I didn't realize all that my parents went through to provide. You see, the Israelites here and these Jews and these ones that are grumbling, they're saying, give us, give us, give us. And Jesus is saying, focus on the source. Focus on the source. Who's the one that's filling the refrigerator? Who's the one that's providing? Who's the one that's everlasting life? Who's the one that fulfills your satisfaction? He says, I am the bread of life. You see, when we are focused on what Jesus gives us, folks, our faith is then tied to results. And as long as the results are good, hey, we're good and we're in good standing. But as soon as the results don't go the way we think, our faith begins to wane, doesn't it? Because when it's about what Jesus gives us, the faith is tied to the results. Because notice, boy, they were seeking Him. And notice that verse there earlier in chapter 6 where He says it in verse 26. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking Me not because you saw signs. Not because you saw the sign that it is God who is the source. He said, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You're seeking Me because you want what I can give, but you're missing who I am. That's when our faith is tied to the results. And you know what? When we don't get the results that we want, when we're looking for what Jesus gives us, our faith begins to wane. And it goes to what happens in verse 66. And many of them turned away. And many of them turned away. So what's the difference? We need to look at who Jesus is, because He is the bread. That relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing that He is the bread of life, that He is the satisfaction. I mean, that's what He's telling us in verses 35 through 40. Notice the different things He says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. He's saying, listen, I am satisfying. I am fulfilling. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ beyond just what He can give you, but realizing who He is, that He's your loving Savior. He's the one of promise. And He is the one there in your life. And when you have that loving relationship, you realize He is satisfying. You realize that He's lasting. That there is that eternity. In verse 37, all that the Father gives to Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me, I will never cast out. He is everlasting. He is not going to get rid of us. Listen, when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter how far, no matter where we go, we know that He is right there with us. He will not cast us out. We know it's effective. Just like cooking that bread, and the smell is very effective when it works through the house. We know that Jesus is very effective as well. In verse 40, for this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. I am effective. You want what we can give, and you're looking to fill your bellies, but really you're missing the relationship with Me and the value and understanding Me. Because see, when we focus on who Jesus is, then our faith is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. Too many people today are looking for what they can get and missing who He is. And missing what He's wanting to do in their life. I was reading a work in the pastoral ministry class this past week called Total Church Life. It was written back in the early 90s by an author named Daryl Robinson. He's a pastor, and he tells a story as he's talking about the health of a church. And he tells a story of when he began to pastor First Baptist Church of Pasadena, Texas, down in the Houston area. He got up the first Sunday, and he was all trying to be enthusiastic. He preached the message, and he got done, and one of the ladies came up to him and said, is that the kind of junk we're going to hear from now on? Totally defeated. He was trying to set a direction. And he tells the story of the next week, a hurricane blows through. And they got the force of the winds. They didn't get all of the hurricane, but it came through and it flooded. And the church, they were off, and the church had a bus ministry, and they had a 14-year-old by the name of Eddie. And Eddie's dad, Leroy, was a construction worker. He was off work that day, and he decided to take a nap in his home. And as Leroy was napping, his sons were out playing in the bayou, and because of the floods, and they had built a raft, and they were being boys. Well, the raft got away from them. Two of the boys made it to safety and ran back and got their dad, Leroy. And they brought him to the bank, and there was a concrete embankment. And Leroy couldn't get down the embankment. It was too steep. And there was Eddie at the bottom, just barely hanging on. Somebody help me. Dad, help me. Give me something. I can't hang on much longer. The bayous are flooding. And Eddie's crying out for help. Leroy runs back to his truck. He grabs a rope and he comes back down. Daddy, help me, hurry. I cannot wait much longer. Leroy takes the rope and he throws it down. And the rope was too short. Eddie was swept in the current. And there, Daryl Robinson got the call. And he went to meet the family. He found out that Eddie had come to know Christ through the BEST ministry just about a month or so before. Leroy had never allowed the BEST ministry people to come talk to him. He never allowed him in the house. But after that day, and as Leroy was telling this pastor this story, he said, I threw the rope and the rope was too short. You see, folks, when we focus on what we can get, we're going to find the rope is going to be too short. It's never going to be satisfying. If we're going to focus on, you know what, I want to make sure my finances are in order. I want to make sure I have everything just right. I want to make sure my health is just right. I want to make sure this is right and this, and this. And I want to focus on what can you get. You know, Jesus, what can you give us? Your rope's going to be too short. Whereas, when you understand that He is the bread of life and His rope is never too short. That through Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him, that regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what we're getting or not getting, that He is solid, that He is there, that He is our comfort. That He is the bread of life, and in Him we shall not hunger, and in Him we shall not thirst, and He will nowise cast us out. In Christ, the rope is not too short. After many of those disciples had turned back and said, you know what, this is too tough. I don't like this, you know, eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. I want you to notice, look down in verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back, no longer walked with him. So Jesus, he said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. There has to be a change from what Jesus gives to who Jesus is. Oh, and when He's real to us, we will find out He is satisfying. I will never hunger or thirst. That regardless of the situation, His rope is never too short. And in that and in Him, we can understand how great and how wonderful that relationship can be. Eat the good bread. See what a joy it is to have that active belief in Him. And realize that He is the bread of life. Shall we stand? With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, as we look at this passage, if we were to get real with ourselves, we'd realize that a lot of times we're in that same position and we're asking, you know, who is Jesus? What is it that He's going to give us? Where is He at now? Why is He not here where I was? And I'm going to seek Him. And Jesus, what can You give me now? When Jesus is saying, I am. I am the bread. I am the fulfilling. And it takes a personal relationship with Him. Are you looking for what you can get today? Or are you looking at who He is? Because in Him, we can find transformation. In Him, we can find satisfaction. He is that bread of life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you began a relationship with Jesus Christ by coming and saying, Jesus, I believe in You. When He says, eat of my flesh, that means that I believe in You. That You're the Son of God. That You came and You died on a cross for me. That Your blood paid the price for my sins. Has there ever been that time in your life where you began that personal relationship with Him? If not, let it be today. To where you can find that satisfaction. Where you can find that healing, that forgiveness, that redemption, that reconciliation, all through Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you know that, if you know Him as your Savior, are you finding your satisfaction in a relationship with Him? Or is it all about what you get? Just a moment, we're going to have our time of response. Time for as God is working upon you, maybe He's speaking to you, and maybe there's something that we read or something He's working in your life. It's a time to respond unto Him, and it's a time for us as a church family to do that. And maybe you just need somebody to come and pray with you. Maybe you need to give your life. And you know what? That's what this time of response is for. And I'm going to be down front. And if you need to know Christ as your Savior, I want to show you. But as we come to this time, let's respond to who He is. Not just what we can get. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd work now. Lord, help us to turn to You. To grow in You. To behold the richness of who You are as that bread of life. We give You all the thanks and all the praise.